it simple and understand the physiologic underpinnings to what it is that you want to change, optimize that environment, and then move on to the next thing. Don't do too many things all at once.
Periodization is not an uncommon term in the world of sports and performance, and is considered an essential foundation for progression of performance. However, how much is it utilized in the clinical setting? Perhaps not as much as it could be. In today's episode, we're joined by Claire Minshall, who is a strength and conditioning specialist who has a real interest in simplifying some of the complex principles used in S&C for use in clinical practice. Today is no exception, as Claire is going to be talking to us about just how valuable this simple concept can be in clinical practice and how you can use periodization to help direct your treatment, measure outcomes, and ultimately get the best from your patients. Claire has recently completed a masterclass for the Physio Network on strength and conditioning, where you can dive a lot deeper into periodization and the broader aspects of clinical strength and conditioning in practice. You can access this masterclass for free with our 7-day trial. Just click on the link in the show notes. But for now, sit back and enjoy today's episode, where we specifically look at periodization and the key takeaways that you can use straight away. I'm James Armstrong, and this is Physio Explained. Claire, it is fantastic to have you on the podcast. As we've just been saying off air, a big fan, followed you for quite some time now. So it's really good to get you on from a selfish point of view today. So thanks for coming on.
That's absolutely my pleasure. No pressure.
Nope, none at all. So you've recently done a masterclass for us all around strength and conditioning, which I'm sure many of our listeners know, but for those who don't, is your main special interest, an area that people probably know you well for. And today we're going to dive into a specific area of strength and conditioning that we feel will be really useful for listeners that they can use in their practice. And that is periodization. So let's kickstart this. For those who haven't used it, don't know, what is periodization?
As we were saying just off air, what I really love doing and enjoy doing a lot is taking some of these great evidence-based strategies and concepts and phenomena from that we see in the performance-based literature. So applying them to typically athletes and sports performers and adapting that to use within rehabilitation. And periodization is just one of those strategies. It can be super, super complex, as in we could get really detailed with it, but that's of no use really to a busy practitioner who's got a million and one things to do. I think where it really comes in useful is in its most simplest format. So what it really refers to is taking a large block of training. So if we're talking about the sport performance, taking a large block of training, recognizing that we've got oftentimes many things to do to optimize that training, and usually it's headed towards a particular event or competition, such that we optimize that environment and training so that individual peaks at that particular competition at their best. So the biggest example of that would be like an Olympic cycle. So that's 4 years. Now imagine planning, training around a 4-year cycle. So its most simple description is taking a large block of training, or in this case, rehabilitation. So taking your rehabilitation program and simplifying it into smaller blocks. And the real advantage of doing that, there are several. One, I think it really helps in the decision-making process of what to focus on when. So oftentimes you're faced with a multitude of things that you need to change, adapt, rehabilitate, and particularly in time-pressured environments, it can be a little overwhelming. So it can help consolidate your thoughts about what I should focus on when, and indeed perhaps what to prioritize and what to deprioritize. And two, it gives you the opportunity to make those optimized gains or optimize the environment by which we can change things the most without interference of other things. So by focusing on particularly perhaps one or two elements of functional performance and doing a really good job of that, that periodization framework enables you to do that. And then perhaps if you've got time, move on to something else rather than trying to do a multitude of things all at once without that real specificity.
Brilliant. Let's look at some examples. I think because for clinicians listening to this, they might be thinking, well, what about my patient population? They aren't into sports. They're not real performance orientated. So how does periodization apply to their patients?
Absolutely. And again, everything that I do, I have less and less actually of a, as my career has developed, of a mind for the elite athlete and more for the general patient, the general population. And as probably many of you know, my real passion is in osteoarthritis. So we're unlikely to be talking about those high level sports participants. So how that helps you is, as I said, the most simplest application would be that framework of what to focus on when. So let's say you have an individual in front of you who is presented to you with the need, and you do an assessment, you realize that weeks into getting stronger, maybe their proprioceptive acuity and balance is off, so we need to focus on that. Maybe you've got some need to improve tissue tolerance, maybe you've got some need to improve rate of force development and power, and you think, well, that's a lot of things. And then maybe you think, well, I've only got 6 weeks for this person. So then that's when, again, where this periodized framework, which we cover in a lot more detail, but really simply in the masterclass, is, so you've got all of these things. How can we establish a hierarchy of importance? What ranks first? What ranks last? Also then considering the physiologic adaptations that you need to make and how long you've got as well. So if you're thinking about a time-pressured environment, and let's say that individual, so it's not sports performer, so you're not going to get them to commit to 3 sessions a week, maybe 1 quality session if you're lucky. Another good example is hypertrophy, muscle cross-sectional area. You can clearly see the atrophy in one limb compared to another. And oftentimes that sways our thoughts of thinking, that's the thing I need to focus on first and foremost because I can really see a difference. But we know that the morphological changes take longer than the neural changes. So you might need that individual to commit to quite a high dose of resistance-based training over a 12-week period to start to see any appreciable change in morphological characteristics, muscle cross-sectional area, versus if we really focus our training and rehabilitation on muscle strength, which is the things that you're going to be influencing first and foremost there, are the neural adaptations, the drive into the musculature, recruitment, fast switch motor units, disinhibition, synchrony of firing. All of those things come before you see those significant morphological change. So if you're thinking about what we need to change, how much time have you got? What are the physiologic underpinnings? Let's say you have 12 weeks, for example, you've got a 12-week program. You need to get somebody stronger. You need to get, ideally start to remedy that interlimb atrophy or imbalance in cross-sectional area. Let's advocate for a strength-first approach. So we improve the utility of that contractile tissue. So we've got kind of that optimizing the neural elements there. So we're getting somebody stronger, we're topping up that fuel tank. So I use strength and a fuel tank analogy. The more we have, the more fuel we have, the better utility we have with that tissue. So then the more useful it is. You know, if you've only got 6 weeks, somebody, that's a brilliant gain in itself. But then if you've got the opportunity to continue that resistance-based training, maybe up the dosage a little bit, because hypertrophic gains is more determined by volume of training, tension versus load, but that's another discussion point. But if you've got another 6 weeks with somebody and you've got a real need and want to balance out, if you like, the cross-sectional areas between limbs, then you kind of then focus then the next block, the next periodized cycle on hypertrophy. So you're going to maybe manipulate the load a little bit, but also the volume.
Want to take your physio skills to the next level? Look no further than our masterclass video lectures from world-leading experts. With over 100 hours of video content and a new class added every month, Masterclass is the fastest way to build your clinical skills, provide better patient care, and tick off your CPD or CEUs. Click the link in the show notes to try Physio Network's masterclasses for free today.
Perfect. It's ringing true. It allows you to be quite focused on a particular goal at any one time, so you can remain quite specific in what you're wanting to do. And that would throw into another element of this where people might say, well, what about the idea that just do something? Something's better than nothing. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I have this discussion quite a lot. I did a couple of presentations on it as well, where you have a specific versus a non-specific approach. And I'm not advocating for one being absolutely superior to another, but from my point of view, my approach would be, if we have that specificity throughout your rehabilitation program. So if you want to get somebody stronger, what's the specificity of that? What's the overload required? So we know we need to lift heavy stuff for a short duration or a few repetitions to optimize that strength adaptation. So optimizing that input-output equation versus if you do, yeah, you can do lower resistance for longer sets, more repetitions, but potentially the adaptation you might get might be compromised. So if we have that specificity, both in terms of the training target, but also the multitude of targets, and also the dose as well that you're delivering, it enables you to, one, objectively quantify what you're doing, or indeed what your patient is doing, by volume or intensity. And we can measure or monitor the adaptations that are being made, the improvements that are being made, or not. And then you're able to then objectively manipulate that programming. Do they need to do a little bit more? Or have they done enough such that the remit has been met, you've achieved that particular goal, then we can periodize onto something else. And I think that's really, really useful. In addition to that, it can help in that attribution of change. So what is it that has helped, or what is it that has improved symptoms or function? What is it about that training, or indeed hasn't helped? So you can, again, objectively modify and change the parameters and components of your rehabilitation programming so that you can try other things and you can say, yeah, that worked, that didn't, versus if you were to do something that's generic, lack specificity, just do something. If it's not working, worst case scenario, which bits are maybe helping, which bits aren't? Are they counteracting one another? It's a lot more difficult to tell, in my view.
Definitely. What I'm hearing is it can eliminate that scattergun approach, in which case, as you say, importantly, when something's not quite working, you don't really know objectively which bit isn't working. So you therefore can't take out one bit. You can't then keep going with one bit that is working. So this allows you to rightly stop, assess, reassess, and then move forward where that patient needs to go next.
Yeah, that's right. And it doesn't have to be complex. And really, I don't want it to be complex because that's a barrier to entry, right? So it's certainly, if I find something overwhelmingly complex, this, you know, I might not engage as enthusiastically as perhaps if it seemed like simply to get involved. And everything that I do, I try and make it as practicable as possible, because that has the utility. It's pointless me talking about these really complex models and really detailed, let's say, a whole year of minuscule planning and on these microcycles and weeks to weeks, when have you got the time to do that? Have you got the inclination? Every patient's different. What resources do you have? So let's simplify this whole concept of periodization. Think about conditioning efficacy. What is it that you want to change? And what's the environment that will optimize that change? And if you're doing multiple things all at once, because you know you need to change multiple things, then there's a threat to that. And that threat is, well, you overwhelm the patient. There's too much for them to, we give 100 exercises, exactly zero will get done. So let's keep it that simple, so we don't overwhelm then. And then there's the potential for perhaps overwhelming the neuromuscular system. So maybe, I mean, we can have a discussion about the interference effect, but there is the potential whereby, and certainly we've shown it in rehabilitating populations following autologous chondrocyte implantation, where we separate out things, we periodize strength and muscular and cardiovascular endurance, and that has ended up improving end of stage strength outcomes. So we want to just try and optimize that environment. So keep it simple and understand the physiologic underpinnings to what it is that you want to change, optimize that environment, and then move on to the next thing. Don't do too many things all at once.
Brilliant. You summarize this really, really well, Claire. And I know you go into loads more detail in terms of strength and conditioning principles for therapists in the masterclass you've done for us. But this is just a snippet of that, and that periodization that I think many of our listeners probably have been put off using in practice. Actually, what you've shown us today is that actually that simple concept can make your job much, much easier with patients by being more focused, allowing your patients to be more focused and maybe increase that efficacy within their rehab, and you to know actually what you're doing at any one particular time.
Yeah. And I absolutely love talking about other scientific concepts and stuff like blood flow restriction training and cross education and whole body vibration and all these other things. But it boils down to initially the fundamentals. Have we got the fundamental things in place? And how can we do that very simply? And that's what I aim to do in the masterclass, give you just the most simple way to think about these things. I'm not saying that people listening to this are simple, but it helps out translation. We don't need really complex models to do simple things effectively. And that's where we can make some massive gains. So doing the fundamentals right, you're going to make those leaps and bounds of improving outcomes or specific outcomes that you want to achieve, and we can start to layer on the other things. But let's just make things easy to apply in rehabilitation. So let's face it, you've got a multitude of things to focus on. You've got a demanding job, a demanding patient. The last thing we need is a huge spreadsheet and formulae. But maybe some of these simplified frameworks will really, really help. The input-output equation for what you're putting into your patient and the input-output equation of what they're putting into their exercise.
Absolutely. Claire, this has been a really good episode. I'm really looking forward to this going out and the listeners taking some key things away to put into their practice. So a reminder for those listening, if you want to learn more about periodization, but strength and conditioning as a whole, then do check out the masterclass, which we've put a link in the show notes below for. Claire, once again, thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Claire.